and welcome to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast. Today we will be finishing up part 5, and we'll see what happens to Tanshi this time. I hope you enjoy.
5, Chapter 8. John came up to Tanshi with a large square box wrapped in red paper. Andre was going to give you this, he said, without emotion. Tanshi opened the box on the galley table. John, Maroon, and Anne looking on. He lifted off the lid and smoothed back the layers of gold tissue paper. A light scent of incense perfumed the folded red robes. A card laid on top of the silk. Tanshi read it out loud, and Demeter translated. The Blood Emperor must appear in the proper robes. Look further for something the region seems to have misplaced. Andre, Prince of Clan Vershan. Tanshi felt the grief rising. He shoved the card into the side of the box. He pulled out a dark red kimono embroidered with gold imperial symbols. Two plain underrobes, one black and one yellow, and a plain black sash completed the attire. It's a Kuang traveling kimono, Maru said. I've never seen one in red before. The Kuang wears yellow. That's what people called you at home. Dad, Kuang Johao Bear. Tanshi stripped off his clothes and struggled into the robes. The first was simple, but the kimono bunched over the undergarments. He pulled at the sleeves, trying to make the bands of color show evenly at his wrists. I'm going to need to find an imperial aide. He blinked rapidly. Oh, hero, gone so long now. Tanshi folded over the front of the garment and put on the sash, tying it at the front. He must look like hell. Shouldn't you have a stake to go with that kimono, John said. The Kuang has the Imperial Guard instead, Tanshi said, though now I'm not keen on being escorted by guards. He undid his military queue and tried to twist his hair up into a knot. He gave up and pulled his hair roughly back into the queue. Tanshi inspected the inside of the container, pulling out a pair of black shoes and a small cardboard box. He slipped on the shoes and opened the small package. The Imperial Medallion. Looks like this floated away from the region, Tanshi said. Ah, Andre. And my old gold case, he swallowed hard. He lifted the chain over his head. He tucked the cord of his gold case into the band of the kimono, then took it out. He needed a net suit. It would fall on the floor. Tanshi smoothed the rumpled kimono and decided he would change back into his jacket and pants. He hated being sloppy. Too late. The Mephisto's coupling banged into Demeter and she released the airlock. General and Herod and 4 soldiers entered the ship. A few moments, John called out. Tanshi Kuang Zhaohao is dressing. A soldier bounded into the galley and kowtowed. Ganji, Tanshi said. Rise, my faithful friend. Ganji rose. My faith has been rewarded. I know I am unworthy. Please, may I have the honor of serving as your aide, esteemed Excellency, he asked. I accept your honorable request. I am in great need of your services, Tanshi said. Ganji fussed and straightened the kimono and quickly fixed Tanshi's hair into the proper knot. From somewhere, Ganji produced a net suit of a sleeping bag, attached it to the cord of Tanshi's case, and tucked the gold case into this Kuang sash. To Anne, Tanshi looked different, so different from the man she loved. May I help you also, esteemed Excellency Maru Kuang? Ganji asked. Please, Maru replied. They left for Maru's room. Tanshi smiled down at Anne. I'll be back soon. He strode out of the galley. The waiting soldiers kowtowed, and Tanshi beckoned them to rise, and Herod moved up beside him, and they left through the connector. He wasn't back soon. When he finally returned, Tanshi fell into bed exhausted. Hours later, Anne awoke and snuggled up to him, but he still slept. She lay back on her side of the bed and sighed. He didn't just look different, foreign and alien. He acted different. Decisive, commanding, distance. They wouldn't be traveling the stars together as small traders as she imagined the future. She had thought he would too. Anne got out of bed and bundled up her dirty clothes, intending to wash them. She was excited about the celebration of the rebel defeat of the Puritans. She hadn't waited around while Tanshi worked. Dinesh had given John and her a shopping tour of their capital of Taranda. She had purchased a gold bodysuit with a loose green silk jacket. The sort suit formed to her body, emphasizing all her charms. Tanshi moaned in his sleep. No, Anne, no, jerked awake and glanced around, seeming confused. Then he saw her. His face lit up. Tanchi stretched and yawned. "Come here." Anne frowned. It sounded like an order. "Anne?" he asked. She shook off her feelings. Anne jumped on the bed and they tumbled together, the sex as warm and good as ever. After, Tanchi wandered off to the animal room and to shower. Anne put her laundry in the washer, picked at a muffin, then took over the shower. She moved back to the bedroom to dress, glancing into the control room as she passed. Tanchi lounged half naked in one of the chairs, his hands behind his head, and Harriet's vanished features leered at him from the view screen. Couldn't Tanchi see what she was up to? Anne dressed, then admired herself in the ball room. She drew back the top edges of the front seam of the bodysuit to show off her cleavage. A hairdresser had styled her hair into a cascade of ringlets. Anne put on some touches of blush, lipstick, and eyeshadow. Tanchi entered the room, removed his white kimono jacket from the closet, and noticed her standing by the mirror. His eyes flew to her breast. "You're beautiful," he said. They hugged, then moved to kissing. "You shouldn't be doing that," Demeter said. "You slept in. It's time to go. John and Maru are almost ready." Tanchi slammed a hand against the room controls. The speaker emitted an indignant squawk. "That'll keep her away," he said. He ran a finger down the bodysuit seam, easing the sticky closure apart. Anne's breast tumbled out. Tanchi grinned. They made love and caring at the time. "Come on, you two," John pounded on the door. "I thought the Kuwan wasn't supposed to be late." They laughed. "We'll be there in a minute," Anne called out. "Yeah, right," John muttered. Veranda spread out along the side of a large lake. Phosphorescent sea serpents undulated beyond a temporary breakwater, having been lured away from a barge that would shoot up fireworks provided by the vampires. The new government sponsored the celebration at a large open plaza facing the water. Small stores and restaurants surrounded the edges. Warm light flooded out their open doors, bathing the white tablecloths. Antique lamp posts shone away the rest of the dark. By the time Tanchi, Anne, John, and Maru arrived, vampires and humans filled the dance floor. The little group stepped through the arch at the end of the plaza. A murmur ran through the crowd. Tanchi moved ahead of Anne and stopped. All the vampires pivoted as one towards him and kowtowed. The humans stood and stared. Tanchi touched his head, heart, and throat and motioned them to rise. Everyone clapped and cheered. Tanchi smiled and took Anne's hand. She felt amazing being the center of attention. "Hail the hero," John muttered. "Never mind the rest of us, or the dead." Anne touched his arm. "I'm sure they include all of us," John shook his head. And Harriet hurried up to them. "You sit here with us," she said in standard. Anne had thought the general would wear a uniform, but the soldiers had dressed in a variety of outfits, a lot looking as if bought in Taranda. And Harriet's tight black dress split high up the side and low in the cleavage. Her dark hair hung loose, her lips were a bright red slash in her white skin, and black comb rimmed her midnight eyes. Tanchi eyed her with appreciation. "When's the porno audition?" Anne thought. The general guided them to a table and included several other officers, and Harriet ordered red wine, and John got Anne some dinner. Anne didn't feel hungry again and picked at her plate. Several of the officers drank bottled animal blood supplied by the rebels. It had become a fad among the military. Unlike living blood, the smell made her stomach turn over. Tanchi only drank the red wine. She assumed they had all fed before they came, out of respect for the humans. Dance music started up. The humans began a waltz. Tanchi and Anne watched them for a few minutes. Maru seemed to have picked up the dance. He floated by with an adoring young human woman in his arms. "We do this," Tanchi said. "Follow me." "You're using standard," Anne said. "Practice some." They got up and tried a few tentative steps of the waltz, then got the rhythm. They swirled about the floor under the stars, and once again Anne reveled in being the center of attention. They returned to the table, Anne exhausted and dizzy but happy. John had disappeared. Anne felt a sudden urge to visit the washroom. "Back in a few minutes," she said to Tanchi. He said, deep in conversation with Anne. He patted Anne's arm in an absent-minded way. Anne wished she knew what they were talking about. She crossed the plaza and found the restroom. Anne stepped out of the washroom. She drew in her breath. The erotic Menendez song poured through her veins. Tanchi and Anne sneezed and twisted about the dance floor, swaying and dipping as one. throwing back their heads, hissing and baring their fangs at each other's neck. It didn't matter that the other vampires danced as well. Anne stormed up to them. How could you dance that dance with her? They stopped dancing in the middle of the floor. Don't understand, Tanchi said, though it was obvious he did. And Herod understood. Return to our seats. She quickly headed back to their table, Tanchi following. They spoke together. Anne rushed up to them and blew back angry tears. She thought she might faint. I'm leaving, she pantomimed. I'm going home. Palin Chalenti nap. See, I know what's going on. Tanchi grabbed her arm. Anne? She wrenched her arm away from him, stumbled across the floor and through the arch. A taxi waited for a customer at the side of the curb. She flung herself into the back. Take me to the spaceport, she shouted. The taxi sped away. Anne stomped onto Demeter. John, his face blotched, eyes puffed slit, peered in the lounge doorway. He held a three-quarters empty Mickey of whiskey in one hand. You okay, Anne asked. I thought you were at the dance. I know. You okay, Anne asked. I thought you were at the dance. Don't feel much like partying, you?
Me neither.
Tanchi? Tanchi? John stared past her to the airlock, enjoying himself with the horror queen.
Oh.
John returned to the lounge and fell heavily onto the couch. Anne flopped down beside him. On the computer, a couple of talking heads discussed the cost of the celebration. The tax watchers, in a puritanical mood, debated the merits of the cost of the celebration with a smug rebel spin doctor. The program dissolved into a shore-side stage overlooking the fireworks barge. Tanchi mounted the platform along with the new March Prime Minister, various dignitaries, bodyguards, his imperial aide, and at his side, Anne Herod. John toasted the computer. Here's to the man who has everything, he said, and the wreckage left in his wake. Kith or kin, what does he care as long as he gets his way? I don't know why I thought I'd be anything to him than an interesting alien fling, Anne said. A space mutt like me. When will I learn? She wiped away a tear. John put an arm around her as the fireworks boomed up on the screen. When the news came on with more of the same, he yawned and staggered off to bed. Anne watched a video, too upset to sleep, but her mind drifted, and she found it difficult to follow the plot. The ship door sighed open, and Tanchi entered. Have a big bang? Anne shouted from the lounge. Tanchi fed in the animal room, then poured himself a cup of coffee and took it to the control room. Tanchi turned his chair away when she came and stood beside him. Did you have fun? She said. And Herod said you were jealous. Is that true? He asked. I saw you making love to Herod as you moved around the dance floor, Anne said. Tanchi, Anne said. I love you, Tanchi said, but love is not enough. I've been thinking about our future. I suspect you have too. I thought maybe things would work out. I would come back after we defeat Murasaki, and we will defeat her. But I have to be honest with myself. I won't come back. Menendek needs me.
More than I do, Anne said.
Anne, surely you can understand. I can't live with a woman who is jealous. And Herod is my general and the mother of one of my children, nothing more. She had me whipped, have you forgotten? And look where the jealousy of Murasaki led. Maybe some of that is your fault. Fooling around. Anne regretted the words the second they left her mouth. I am done with him. Tanchi stood up and went to their bedroom. Anne could hear him opening the doors and banging around. She ran to the doorway. I'm sorry. No, I learned your language and you only mocked me with mine. In front of everyone. You embarrass me. How can I live with a woman who doesn't respect me?
What? I'm not your subject.
Anne said, how dare you? I got more respect as a paymon. More respect in a March prison. Then go back there, Anne shouted. Tanchi grabbed her arms. Don't you ever say that to me, he hissed in her face. Not ever. Do you understand? His fangs gleamed. Her arms hurt. He smelled the blood. Something half remembered played in Anne's mind. He had killed before. She disturbed a hormone. Get off my ship and don't ever come back. She jerked her arms away. That's fine with me. Tanchi finished filling his duffel bag. John came out of his room. What's going on here? Tanchi's leaving, and good riddance to the vampires you let on here, Anne shouted. John stiffened. Isn't the fleet leaving tomorrow? What about my daughter? I'm sorry. No, she needs to be with her kind, Tanchi said. What? That's kidnapping! John ran to Demeter's door and found Maru standing there. He had heard everything.
Come, Maru, Tanchi said. Soldiers will get your things.
I actually had my things moved tonight in preparation, Maru said. He looked at John and Anne. Though I never expected things to end like this. You're good people. John turned and ran to the hole. He came back with Andre's ashes. Here, take everything that I love. Why not?
Tanchi tenderly took the urn.
I'll call for you to come when he's interred with the ancestors, I promise. And you can visit Persephone.
I'll be taking her home, John said.
We'll see, Tanchi said.
I will, John said. Assuming you're not all killed, children and all, irresponsible.
Tanchi pushed by Maru, who followed him. Demeter closed the door behind them. Anne burst into sobs.
Why, God, why? What was I thinking? Oh, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry. Why did I sin? I was so stupid.
Tempted by the devil, John said. We both fell.
Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another episode of Forgotten Fantasy. If you want to read ahead, you can get a full copy of the book by becoming a patron. And go on over to patreon.com/forgottenfantasy. Our Twitter is @BronnyTheBard. And our Facebook is facebook.com/forgottenfantasy. Take care, and until next time, bye-bye now.